Well, I already let the cat out of the bag on what the message is about today. Is about complaining. It's one of those traps. We slide into it so easy. Anybody ever been driving down a road and you find a rut and you're trying hard to stay out of that rut and then all of a sudden it goes, pulls you right into it and you're like, I even saw it. How did I get sucked into it? Complaining is just like that. It just takes one person to start complaining. All these shoes, they just don't throw them away. Well, I ain't got any others. Then shut up until you buy another pair and then throw them away and then use the shoebox. Amen. That was a good segue. But when we hear one person complaining about something, oh, I didn't have my coffee. Listen, I'm just going to help y'all out here. I get the whole coffee thing. You know, if you don't have your coffee, sometimes you get headaches and stuff. But if it's affecting your personality to the point you've got to have your coffee in order to be a decent human being, you're the one with the problem, not them. You have a drug addiction. Think I'm kidding? That's what caffeine is. It's the only drug that we just spur on the community and everybody. Preachers won't preach against it. Amen. I've heard a few, oh, don't you talk, I'll talk about your cigarettes, but don't you talk about my caffeine. Drug is drug. Sugar, you get addicted to all this stuff. But complaining is as addictive. One person starts complaining. Well, then the next thing you know, you're just walking down the street and you just see something that has absolutely nothing to do with you. Somebody parked too far away from the curb. Can you believe they dare park 13 inches off of the curb? Well, they got $5,000 in tires and rims, yeah. But that's not what happens. We start finding little things to start complaining. The next thing you know, we go home to our wife, and we start complaining to our wife or our husband. We start nitpicking. We find all the stupid little things to complain about. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. There, does that settle it? Is that so hard? Is it so hard to do everything you do without complaining and arguing about it? Here's the problem we have today. Everybody has got an opinion. And theirs is the right one. It's the way it is. I can't tell you how many times I knew how to do it different than my sergeant did. But in the end, guess who lost? Private. Sergeant, private. I lost. I had to do it his way, even though, and he was doing it most of the time to torture me, but there was his way and my way, and I had to do it my way in my mind. In his mind, I had to do it his way and till I submitted to his will. Your boss, oh, I could do, listen, I get it. I've worked for bosses, their way was the only way, and it was the wrong way. It really was. There were people that they just got, it's what they were taught. Just like a lot of white folks were taught that black people are bad. People of color are bad. And black people have been taught the same thing about whites. Why do you think we have the mess we got going on right now? Nobody wanted to address it. We all want to be blessed. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit. That's not what was happening in the churches. They didn't want to come to church and get their hands slapped. Everybody wants, oh, bless me, Jesus, hallelujah, I feel the Spirit. You want to feel the Spirit? Go out and love the unlovable. That's where the Spirit of God comes out. It's not in here. We stir up love. But you want the true Spirit of God. You want to feel God? Go out there and don't complain about it. If you're next, I mean, has anybody ever actually been close to somebody who's homeless? I do want to see hands. Okay, there's a few of you. They don't smell the greatest, do they? You're not going to. You sleep on a parking curb. We took the youth group down to Faith Mission quite a few years ago now. We parked the car, and right there in front of us, on the parking curb this wide, was a homeless man sleeping on the parking curb. And it wasn't exactly warm. It was about 20 degrees. And he's sleeping on that parking curb in Columbus. Some people would have been, oh, make him go away. Just because you hide the thing does not make the problem go away. We have a problem. We need to start dealing with it. Oh, who's supposed to deal with that? Well, how about we start with the church? How about the church start really doing something about it? We don't need any more temples. Yeah, we have to have buildings in order to come to worship and stuff, and we have codes we have to follow. But we don't need to build temples. Stupid fly. This must be a presidential or vice presidential debate. I didn't even see it, and I know about the fly. But we are so focused on the wrong things that we come in, we praise God, we walk out and we complain about the homeless problem. We complain about this and we complain about that, but we don't offer a solution. We aren't thinking outside the box. Well, you know, I can't do that. Well, why not? Why can't you see a problem? Figure out what you can do about it. If it's not you, then start praying and ask God to help you. You know, I forget what we're even talking about. Angela and I were talking about something, was it yesterday? And then I said, you know, I was thinking about that and about how when I started home improvements, I didn't know squat, really. Not like I do now. But I said, here's my thing, is I would get a tool, didn't know how to use it, but I figured it out. I started doing it. That's why I like to do stuff at home first. That way, if I mess it up, it's on her stuff. And it still doesn't mean it comes out perfect any other time. Anybody who's ever worked with stuff knows what I'm talking about. But you have got to, I never preached, let alone pastoring a church. How do you start a church, Lord? Well, Nike says just do it, you just do it. And that's what you do. You just do it. How do you help the homeless? You just do it. One act. You start. If that person is, if that's really bothering you, help them get somewhere where they can get a shower. You know, a lot of people complain, go get a job, go get this. They can't get jobs if they don't have addresses. They ain't going to get hired because they smell. So why don't you take them somewhere where they can get a shower? And by the way, use wisdom with that. I've told you before, I'll pick up hitchhikers on the road, especially if I know they just got out of jail, myself. I won't pick them up with my family. Part of the reason is I do carry a gun. The other reason is I'm the one wearing a seat belt with the steering wheel to a 4,000-pound truck. And the telephone pole's on his side of the road. What's he going to do? I picked up hitchhikers coming home from Columbus at 3 in the morning. What are they going to do? I'm running 70 miles an hour. Oh, you want to pull the knife on me? Is that right? You do realize you stabbed me. I let go of the steering wheel. I set the cruise. You can't get to the brake pedal. We're both going down. Now, let me tell you about Jesus, because I know where I'm going. No. But complaining. Do all things without complaining. Yeah, it's not fun. Has anybody found that everything in your life is just loads and loads of joy? I mean, there's rainbows and marshmallows everywhere. No. There's usually a lot of rocks and briars. And you know what? I look at it and say, yep, it's a mess. Yep, it's going to hurt. But boy, what is it? Because you know what? People lose vision. We were talking about this. But next week, we celebrate 19 years. 19 years as a church. That's a lot. From a couple who had no idea what they were doing. We're in this building, no idea what we were doing. We bought the building on a land contract, and it was filthy. Stinky machine shop. It looked like it had been a pool hall because the ceiling was brown with smoke from the welders. Had no idea what we were doing, but boy, we got out here with the pressure washer and crud cutter, and we blasted the ceilings and the floors and the walls. We did it for 2 straight weeks, just this section. 2 straight weeks. It's a wonder any of us can see. I mean, that crud cutter just burned in my eyes. No idea. We aren't going to complain about it. It's got to be done. Complaining doesn't get us anywhere. So Paul was telling the Philippians, do everything without complaining, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights to the world. See, if we're not complaining, Paul said it will help make us blameless. Because here's the problem with complaining. Complaining is actually bringing an accusation against somebody, saying somebody's not doing their job right. Now, if we're complaining about what God has given us, who are we complaining that didn't do their job right? Yeah, you're complaining about God. The children of Israel did it regularly. They complained about, oh Lord, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to the Red Sea to be slaughtered. And then Moses goes before the Lord. Lord, what am I supposed to do? He says, watch, raise your staff. We know the story, most of us. He raised his staff, and east wind blew and dried out the Red Sea. By the way, it's the Gulf of Aqaba. Get out of your religious mindset. They have found the evidence at the bottom of the sea. There are Egyptian chariots in the Gulf of Aqaba and horses. So just keep that in mind when religion says, oh, well, this is where it is. That's religion. I go with the evidence on this one. By the way, Solomon marked it too on both sides. And they got to the other side, and Miriam grabbed her tambourine, and she started running around singing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. And they began singing and rejoicing, but yet 10 minutes earlier they were complaining. James said, out of the mouth flows blessing and cursing. This should not be so, brethren. Can a spring bring forth both good water and bitter water? But yet we do it. James is also the one that started talking about our tongue, how it sets things afire. That's why you have to be careful you're complaining. That's why we were instructed in the Bible, in the New Testament, to pray for our leaders. Pray for them. That's how we get somewhere. By the way, that's how you keep your heart pure. It's not saying that you're wild about everything they do. Oh, good night, I am not wild about. And I'm not wild about some of what the Republicans have done. But I pray for them because God can change their hearts. My complaining ties the hands of God. It keeps him from being able to move in my life because he doesn't operate. Complaining is not faith. Like I said, we come in here and we praise the Lord and we shout and we dance. But we go outside and we start complaining. Oh, it's gonna rain. Can you believe that? It's gonna rain. We gotta have the rain. If farmers aren't used to it yet, Bob, you've been farming how many years now? 60 years. I think he's pretty used to the cycle of how things go. Okay, it's going to rain. I gotta get this done now. And I know he's been harvesting and planting. He's been rotating things, figuring it out. He's been getting it done. But people want to just, oh, I can't believe it's going to rain again. I praise God it's going to rain. We kind of need some. Those of us that have shallow wells really do like the water levels to be as high as they can go. Praise God, I don't run out of water. But you see, if all we're doing is complaining about the rain, well, God says, I got a remedy for that. We can stop it all. Some of you remember droughts. 88. And I've been through several in Japan and in North Carolina. It's bad when there's no water. So why complain about the rain? When the rain finally does come, oh, thank you, Jesus, we got rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, if you'd have quit complaining and started thinking back then when you didn't have it yet, faith isn't saying, oh, thank you, Lord, I see the rain coming. Faith is, Lord, I thank you for the rain, and it's not here yet. There's not even a cloud in the sky yet, but I thank you for the rain. Try that in your life. I promise you God will move. So now, 1 Corinthians 10. Oops, looks like I forgot to mark that one. Starting verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain. Do you know what God did by making sure that Paul wrote that in there at that high? He wanted you to know that it's really a sin. The sexual immorality, all this other stuff, we know. Complaining. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Again, complaining is the exact opposite of faith. The word tells us, Jesus himself said, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? Or will he find a church that's sitting here complaining, oh, Jesus, can you believe what we got to pick from in Washington? Oh, Jesus, what do? We don't like either one of them. We don't like any of them. Just clear the house. You know, I have to remind people, whether you like the president or not, God used an ass to talk to a prophet. So think about that for just a second. God's been trying to speak to this country for years, but the church didn't want it. The church wants just blessing. Blessing is great, but if you don't have holiness, what's it for? Well, we look good, we smell good, but we're going to hell. You can't please God without faith and holiness. Sorry, that's scripture. I stand on scripture. I will err on the side of scripture over my feelings. Because my feelings aren't always, you can ask my wife, my feelings aren't always what the scripture says. As a matter of fact, one thing, she does this, they all do it to me. You know, my pastor just said this week in a message talking about this very thing. You know, he was a pretty smart guy. Yeah, I think he's right. See, it's that easy to let your guard down. Oh, my job is so awful. Oh, it's so bad. It's so terrible. Well, let me ask you. The example I was getting ready to use, I know at least one person in here does, is around all this, but are you changing adult diapers in a nursing home? You want to talk about bad? I did remodel work in nursing homes, and I would leave the wing. It got that bad sometimes. My heart went out to those people. They need a pay raise. They really do. But we complain about our job because, oh, my chair is just so uncomfortable. I mean, it squeaks when I go, that squeak is just driving me nuts. You know, a can of WD-40, I mean, a big can is only about $3 or $4, but you can buy you a little tiny one for $2. Keep it in your drawer, and every time it starts squeaking, oh, squeak went away. Go figure. I don't have to complain about my job anymore. I become a more pleasant person to be around. My boss starts noticing that my productivity has gone up because I'm not complaining. And all of a sudden, he decides I need a dollar an hour raise. That's pretty significant. I remember hiring into one job, and evaluations are coming down. They're going to determine how much a pay raise we get. And I'm like, woohoo. I said, I've really been working hard. I'm really trying. And then I found out, one guy told me, he said, I've been here X amount of years. He said, the biggest pay raise they give out is about 5%. That's not very much. He's like, yeah, I got a nickel an hour. I said, okay, well, Jesus, I thank you. I praised him. I thanked him for the job, even though it was a 10-hour shift. I had to drive to Columbus to work a 10-hour shift, get off at 2:30 in the morning. I would shower down there, drive home, miss my family's life. But I thanked him for that, and I got a 6.2%. And none of them knew it. Because God gave me favor because I thanked him for what he was doing. And when I left, my boss offered to give me any amount I wanted. But he couldn't give me first shift. So, that was that. And by the way, he was the greatest boss I ever worked for. He was a good man. He knew how to treat people. He knew how to get work out of them. He knew not to. He caught me one time shooting cap plugs, which are those little red caps that go on the end of, no, they don't go on the end of air guns, but they do fit. And the painters and the welders had a war. And I made this thing that was, it was an old metal-handled broom handle. And I had one of the welders that was friends with me weld it up for me. And that thing shot a cap plug that big. It was more scary than it was impactful, but he caught me and never said a thing. I mean, I'm standing there in the middle of the aisle, aimed. Because he knew. But he knew I also did my job. Be the type of employee that you would want working for you. There, I'll help you out. I don't care who your bosses are. I don't care what country they're from. I don't care what their political affiliations are. You're not there. And I must have grabbed the wrong glasses this morning because those are really blurry. You're not there to win their approval. You're there to get a paycheck. Oh, by the way, for those of you that think saying thank you every now and then would be just grateful, did your boss hand you a paycheck at the end of the pay period? That's his thanks. People are so butthurt. Well, they didn't say thank you. Hey, I'm just glad the paycheck didn't bounce. I worked for a guy that the paychecks bounced. I didn't work for him long. Don't have to tell me twice. Oh, you're not going to pay for the fees I had to pay? Sayonara, brother. By the way, he was a brother in the Lord, too. Should never be a boss. He should never be. Nope. Didn't know what he was doing. But I bless him. I don't complain about him. I don't tell you that because, oh, you're complaining. No, I'm not. I told you what happened to me, and I forgave him, and God took me and blessed the both of us, and he kept blessing us. Because right at that particular time that the paycheck bounced, I was working 3 jobs, plus giving blood. So y'all, What's that? Oh, no, we were still doing it. Not as often. So you know that song by the Newsboys, shoveling elephant dung and giving blood? Yeah, I understand that one quite well. Now, Psalm 106. Go to verse 25. I'm going to go to 24, I'm sorry. Then they despised the pleasant land and did not believe his word, but complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised up his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. It's talking about Israel when Israel was told to go in and possess the land of Canaan. But you know what their complaint was? God, we're too small. We're too small. They're giants. They will have our children as slaves. They would not go do. And God said, I'm going before you. Ladies and gentlemen, if God goes before you, you can't lose the battle. I mean, come on. They refused. They brought back evidence. They brought back pods of grapes so huge they had to carry them between two men. Fruit. There were so many bees pollinating, they had honey running out of trees. The land was well off. It was well watered. And they wouldn't rise up because they were afraid. Mind you, we're talking about the people who saw God open the Red Sea. Remember, they walked on dry ground. But by the time the Egyptians got there and came across, the water had started seeping in and made it mud, and their wheels got stuck. And their wheels came off. You know what it sounds like to me? I think angels are flying by there spinning the lug nuts off. They got on the other side, they started praising the Lord. And a couple days later, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we need bread. You know, you need an oven to make bread. God sent them manna. All they had to do was go out in the morning, take your dish, and pick up enough for you and your family. That's it. Because if you took any more, it turned to worms. This is my problem with what I see going on in the world right now. When is enough enough? There is absolutely no reason for there to be hunger in this world. When is enough enough? Are you satisfied? Well, I gotta be the biggest. I gotta be the best. Says who? Whose chart are you trying to live up to? I only measure up to one chart, and that's God's. He's the one judging what I do, what I say. And he blesses me because I trust in him. And that's what I try to convey to you, is to trust him. Does he ask you to do scary things? Anybody been Christian long enough to understand? Yes. He asks you to do scary things from time to time. He may ask you to do something that in your mind is so insanely stupid. But will you do it? Well, yeah. He told us one time that if we would give somebody some money and some groceries, just a bag, we didn't have a whole lot left extra. And honestly, at that point in our life still, we were doing okay. But there wasn't a whole lot left over still. And that $50, it was precious. God said, give it to him and he will give his life to me. And he did. He never knew where it came from. He just knew there it was. God provided. Something as stupid as that. Was it worth the $50? It was worth $500. It's worth $5,000 for one soul. So instead of complaining to God, oh God, you know what I was going to do with that money. God, we're just making it. That $50 was the first money we had extra in a while. We've never gone without. Never. Ever gone without. Ever, ever, ever. One, we tithe. He said he rebuked the devourer for our sake. A couple times he's rebuked me on that. How about you cut your spending out a little bit, Art? Oh, yeah, that might help the budget. But two, we've done what he's asked. We did the things he asked without complaining. Oh, Jesus, this money just means so much. He knew that. When we went to buy our first house, and I told the lady that was writing up the papers for us what I made per hour, she just looked at me and said, you can't afford this house. I said, you know, my heart sank. I said, but let me see your W-2. Showed her my W-2, and she said, how do you make that much? And I said, I work 6 days a week, 8 to 10 hours a day, average. I usually worked about 60 hours a week. So that's how I did it. And I was in the worst job I ever had in my life. Was not treated right, lied to. And I still kept moving. I even told Joshua the other day, I said, I quit that job. I got mad one day and I just shut the things down and I turned around, grabbed my lunch bucket and I went to my car and started away and I got to the bottom of the hill and God said, what are you doing? I said, I'm leaving this place. How are you going to pay your mortgage? Your electric bill? How are you going to do this stuff? Put it in reverse, back up to my parking spot, went back down because I just got a chewing out that was undeserved from my supervisor. And he and I had a little heart-to-heart talk. We went about our ways. I fired up the machinery again and went back to work. But God provided me a job 30 days later in which I walked away. To which God left me there for 9 months, which brought the insurance that we needed for Jesse, because Jesse had a 2-week hospital bill of $70,000. The insurance paid every dime of it. I started my own business before he was 6 months old. Or I started it before he was born, and I quit working for that other company. Which led me to here, because I couldn't have done what I needed to do for here if I'd have been trying to work second and third shift. It's difficult. You see what I'm saying? God will take you places you need to go. Everything is a stepping stone. Sometimes you got to suck it up for a while and get through. But if you complain about it, you tie the hands of God. Stop the complaining. When you want to complain, bite your tongue. And if I come in next week, and there's some of you and you've got Band-Aids wrapped around your tongue, I will know that you are trying. As a matter of fact, I would love to see all of you with Band-Aids because you stopped complaining. Quit tying the hands of God in your life. Start thanking Him. Well, Lord, you know what? I would like to have this, but I don't need it now. So in your timing. Doesn't mean you give up your dream. I explained to one young man, God gave you dreams for a reason. They spur you on, they move you to do things. But if you're going to complain about them, you're going to tie the hand to God and He's not going to be able to do what He needs to do because you're an ungrateful little brat. You aren't grateful. You come in here, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you got tears running down your face. And then you walk out there and you start complaining about the commissioner. You start complaining about the judge. You start complaining about the president. You start complaining about the speaker of the house. You start complaining about everybody and their brother. You start complaining about your neighbor, your wife, your children. Did I miss anybody that you complained about? Oh, your job. Your boss. Stop it. It doesn't get God on your side. I would rather have God on my side than oppose him. Has anybody figured this part out yet? I mean, obviously the devil hasn't quite got a grasp on it yet. I mean, he is so delusional. The world has no idea. They still lose. We're winning, we're winning, we're gaining ground. No, we're not, no, we're not, no, we're not. Holy smoke, what is that in the sky? Did I just hear a trumpet? Bible says that when that happens, men will go to the mountains and cry for the mountains to fall on them, to hide them. Don't want to be in that boat. And I think there's going to be many people sitting in churches today who are going to be in the same situation. People sitting outside the churches thinking, well, I ain't going into church. I'm just tired of it. Yeah, you need to grow up is what you need to do. You're going to get butt hurt at everybody. People are getting butt hurt because I said butt hurt. But it's the term. Does anybody in here not know what it means? Don't raise your hand. It's what we're seeing every night in the news. We're just seeing it all the time. That's why I've been challenging you. Knock it off. Stay away from the political stuff posts. I've been skipping over them, man. As soon as I see it's a political, oh, hey, there's some pictures of their grandkids. Like, oh, 10 politicals. I don't care if I agree with them or not. I'm not surrounding my heart with garbage. You know, I think it was where Tim, we were talking about the rats, weren't we? We were talking about rats, and we had a really interesting conversation over there at Compassion Cafe this morning about things you'd eat. You know, and everybody, you know, and Faye had brought up something about rats and, you know, things that she's not real fond of. She said, I wouldn't eat a rat. But here, and Tim and I were talking about this. It's because in our mind, in the United States, where do rats reside? Trash, the sewer, the dump. In the jungle, where does a rat reside? In the jungle, eating nuts and berries and leaves, the same things that the squirrels that you guys eat. It's just not worth the time for me. I mean, I'd love to shoot a bunch of them in the woods when I'm deer hunting, but it ain't worth the effort to me. That's a lot of work. And then the little arms and legs, they look... Just can't do it, I'm sorry. Look like a little human. Not happening. At least a deer doesn't look anything like that when you... But the thing of it is that rat is brought up in a totally different area. It eats different things. So it tastes hogs. Does anybody know why God didn't want the Jews to eat hogs? Hogs, catfish, sharks, whales, rays, anything that didn't chew cud. Hogs will eat anything. Human, they'll eat themselves. I worked in a, I mean, I've heard some stories from people, but I worked in a hog farm one time, hanging new curtains for them, maintenance, okay? And this is an occupied hog farm, and I was one of the few guys they could find dumb enough to do it. I'm like, hey, what you're paying me per hour? Yeah, I'll sleep here if you need me to. My wife won't let me come in the house for a month, but I'm walking on the panels up the top, and these hogs are grabbing hold of the bottom of my car arts, trying to pull me into the pen. And I'd already heard the horror stories of a few other people that didn't fare so well with hogs, and I just started kicking them in the head. Not today, boys. Hogs are filters. They eat garbage. Catfish are filters. They eat garbage. Sharks are filters. They eat garbage. Whales eat the garbage out of the sea. They filter it. They're filtering the ocean water. That's what their job is. And until we started raising hogs that are raised on grain, hogs had a very high chance of disease. But you go to these units now, they're so sterile that if you were on, I couldn't go to one for 2 weeks after I'd been on one. I had to go 2 weeks quarantined from touching any other hog farm, even their own, because they didn't want disease. God had a reason for all of it. Oh, why is God keeping me from this? God's got his reason. I asked God, why don't you let me win the Powerball? Man, you know what I could do with $350 million? Trust me, I've thought about it. Every time it hits a big number. Jesus, what could I do for you? Well, one thing I would not do anymore is I wouldn't trust God for everything I need. I don't need him to be my supplier. I'm self-sufficient. God, I don't need your money. I don't need to trust you to bring my daily bread. I got more money than I'll ever spend. So I won't ever win the Powerball. I'll still dream about it. You could do a lot with $350 million. The reason why people don't want to spend the money is they don't value human life. You know, right around the corner from me is a campground that is got, it's in the blotter every week. Every day it's nearly being posted that on County Road 108, police had to show up for something. It's Hidden Lakes. There's drugs. People are living in there. It's not supposed to be. But here's one of the problems. I talked to the veteran services about homeless vets, and he said, we really don't have a problem with that in the county, but he said, I will tell you right now, he said, I know we have about half a dozen that live in the Hidden Lakes, and if anything were to happen, they're homeless. They have nowhere else to go. So my question is, why is our country spending money on the stupid things that we're spending it on and not helping the homeless situation? We're building, and why isn't the church doing this? Why isn't the church more involved in this? I mean, I'd love to do this. And if this is something God puts in my hands to be able to do, it's God's bill. And trust me, it's going to take 6-7 figures easy to do that. But there are ministries that could do this. There are government agencies who are just throwing money away for stupid reasons, and they could be helping homelessness. A lot of these people would love to work, but they ran into a situation where they don't have an address, and you can't give a homeless shelter as your address, which is another problem. Why not? I can shower. I go there. Why not? It's all political. The only way it's going to happen is if we take control of that stuff as the body of Christ and start doing what's supposed to happen. And it's going to take faith, not complaining. Like this OCC. OCC, I said it right. Just like OCC. We get it out there. We get it done. We just do it. God's going to provide everything. And he did. So trust me when I'm telling you, if you will stop complaining about, first off, your job, your spouse, your situation, and you start asking God for direction, because if you're complaining, you're not talking to God about the problem. And by the way, he knows you need to talk about the problem. People forget that. You need to speak that out and get it out. Otherwise, it stays in there as a complaint. It's kind of like getting a thorn inside your shoe, and you're walking around all day, and you got that stupid thorn, and you just keep grumbling about it. But if you just take 2 minutes of your life to take the shoe off, pull the thorn out of your sock, put the shoe back on, you'll refocus. This won't be bothering you no more. And I'm telling you, complaining is running rampant. It's everything. And if you don't stop it, you aren't going to see the miracle working hand of God. the Jews paid dearly for their complaining in the desert. They wouldn't go in. God told them, 40 years, you're going to walk around in a big circle. But do you know how merciful our God is? The quail kept coming. The manna kept coming. The water kept coming. Their shoes didn't wear out. I have a pair of shoes. Think about it. They are 30 years old. They're my chloroforms from my dress uniform. And I came across them the other day. Yeah, I won't be wearing them anymore. They were leather. They were really shiny. They didn't hold up to being in a box, let alone being wore all the time. Let alone, God didn't let the soles of their shoes wear out for 40 years. And that pair of shoes couldn't make it sitting in a box. That's God. So if you'll stop complaining, murmuring, when it starts rising up in you, cast it down and find something right then. I don't care what it is to thank God for. Oh, but my hair, you know, it's all gray. I'd like to thank him. You've got it. Well, my hair's gone. Thank God you look good without it. Right? Start thanking God for something. Find something. And when you find that anything to be thankful for, you'll find God will move in your life. Because now your faith can be matched with what your words. All right, let's stand. Now, I told you a few, and it's been a while now. If some of you might remember, I told you there would be another surge. Brenda even came up to me and said, "What did you mean?" I said, "Exactly what I meant. There will be another surge of COVID before the election." Here it is. But not going to complain about COVID, because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his name is above. See, COVID means conqueror. And I'm pretty sure my Bible says I am more than a conqueror. Amen. The exact words. I'm more than that distinctive high-performance cold. I am more than that. Oh, you're playing it down. I'm not going to live in fear. Man, a 74-year-old man gets it, and 4 days later, he's back up and bouncing, and he eats McDonald's and garbage. And I know the King of Kings, the great physician. I think I'm good to go. He's the one that told me I could walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will not fear it. So don't let it bother you. Be praying. And, you know, like, you know, we will, for outside there, we will submit to the things, but again, inside, this is my building. You want to wear it, you wear it. If that's where you feel comfortable. If you don't, obviously I know where. I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful. I wore mine into the store the other day because I've been not wearing it most of the time. But I went into Walmart, I walked around Walmart, and I wasn't feeling good. Went and checked my blood pressure. It was 144 over 99. Watch it. They will run your temperature, or they will run your blood pressure up. I took it off 5 minutes later. I feel good. So watch it. And unfortunately, I was getting my oil changed, so I had to be in there for a while. So I went and sat in Subway and ate a sub. But I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you straight facts. But we will not fear it. We won't complain about it. If they want to kick me out, they can kick me out. If I really want in that store, I guess I'm going to have to put the stupid thing on if they don't want me in there. But I can also shop elsewhere. So please remember that when we're living in this. It is what the situation is. and we'll get through it. My personal opinion is November 3rd, November 4th, we're going to see a lot less focus on it. So, but I don't know. It's just something that is. Be praying, though, continually praying. Because, again, I've never been through, and ain't no person standing in here ever been through an epidemic like this. Not one. 1918 was the last time we had something like this. And so there's nobody in this county that I'm aware of who's 102 years old. There probably is a few, but they were that tall. So your governor doesn't even know. He's never been through it. I get it. He really does think he's looking out for the best of us. I have to believe that. So just let God bring you peace, okay? Let's pray. Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, for what you have done for us through sending Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice to pay a debt that he did not owe. Father, I receive in myself now what he has done. I receive the victory from the oppression and the depressions. Lord God, I thank you for what you've delivered me from. I thank you for what you're delivering and you have delivered to people here and within the sound of my voice, what you've delivered them from. Lord, I pray right now that your spirit would ride with them. It would just hang heavy on them. It would bubble up within them. Father, right now, may they all feel your touch. As they go forth, Lord, and as they even begin to show acts of kindness to people, Father, they begin to share love with people. Now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. I bless their businesses. I bless their places of employment. I bless their homes. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving in their favor in all things. Father, I thank you. You've rebuked the devourer. I thank you. Their harvest will not rot in the fields. In Jesus' name, amen.